it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We got phone calls to get to, and the question today, what's real? What's more of the truth? Who the Lions were week one at Green Bay, or who the Lions were on Sunday at home against the Bears? And there's elements of both, but don't cop out. Play along. Which one is more of who they are? Like, I would tell you, their pass rush is the team that couldn't get to Jordan Love. Their offensive line, communicating, putting hat on a hat, unlocked the offense that we thought we would see all season. The Bears game is the one that felt more familiar. The Packers game is the one that felt foreign. But you got to prove it. And they have to prove it against teams like Green Bay. So you can unwind this ball of yarn however you'd like. 248-539-9797. Matthew, you're on 97.1.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Hey, okay, so I called last week, told everyone to relax a little bit after the Packers game. I think we're seeing what's always been happening. It might take a game, it might take a season, but, you know, this offense, this team, they get it together. There's a reason why everyone believes in them. And I think the first one, didn't Micah Parsons come 4 days before they played? Like, there's no looks there. There's no research you can do. I just think it was a first game of the season with a lot of unknowns. If they needed to do what they needed to do against the Bears, and I think the big test is going to be the Ravens, but I don't think there's anything to worry about, to be completely honest.
Yeah, there's a world though where they lose to Baltimore and they're still the team that played the Bears. Baltimore's a good team. You're on the road. They could lose that game and still be a 12-win football team.
Right. I don't think anybody is sitting here going, well, okay, well, they fixed everything against the Bears, and now they're going to end up 16-1, except maybe, you know, caller Greg.
Well, if they lose one more, they'll be at 15. Yeah. We know the game. But what I'm saying is I would caution the Ravens being the referendum game that decides week one versus week two, because week one may have been too many moving parts and changes and miscommunications and sloppiness. Week two, hey, Dan Campbell's offense is still Dan Campbell's offense. We don't need Ben Johnson. And that still might not be good enough to beat Baltimore. You know what I'm saying? Like, game two could be the real Lions and they could still lose week three.
I mean, I think the big thing that came out just week to week was how much better the offensive line played. Because that's where I was fearing, oh no, this thing could go sideways, because they need their offense to be a Super Bowl caliber team. The defense was going to always be the question mark, and it's going to be a work in progress throughout the year. I still have questions about that and how they're going to contain the Ravens next Monday.
As do I. I mean, they're 5.5-point underdogs, and I don't expect them to win as we sit here today. Texter says they are who shows up against Baltimore. That's Jason. He says, and happy birthday, Teddy.
Oh, thank you.
Texter says, good morning. If you look to be a Super Bowl team, you need to look good against other Super Bowl caliber teams. That's Green Bay, not Chicago. Also says, go blue, John.
Go blue.
Why can't they be both teams? Both the team that played in Chicago and both the team that played in Green Bay. Same team, different opponents.
All right. So, yeah, sure, there's that extreme. They could be that team against good teams, and they could be the team that played the Bears against bad teams. I think they're not playing the game. They're certainly somewhere in the middle.
Yeah,
they're not as bad as they were week one, and they're not as grandiose as it looked in week two.
The same ones that said all offseason how the Bears got better and we didn't, all of a sudden are saying we should have blown out the Bears because they're a bottom feeder. It's funny how the narrative changes. Cough, cough, 2-6.
Well, I mean, so the narratives or some of the facts about Chicago was they hired Ben Johnson. We had no idea how he's going to be as a head coach, and the jury is certainly still out. But what did he do the first thing he got there? Improve the offensive line. And went and got himself a tight end because he knows the tight end is important in his offense. Now, he's not using that tight end, but there are some things where you looked and you said, okay, well, maybe they are better. But they're not playing like it now.
No, and I'm not going to tell 2-6 how to do their show. I just, you win that way by 31 points. It's a little weird to tell people they didn't do enough. Like, yeah, they didn't win the Super Bowl last Sunday. They couldn't win the Super Bowl last Sunday. They had the best possible outcome. They took Ben Johnson and any questions of whether or not they could keep the offense going, and they made that statement. They won by 31 points. That's not the bare minimum. That's not just doing what you're supposed to do. It's weird energy. You want to say they didn't win the Super Bowl? Fine, they didn't win the Super Bowl.
Right.
248-539-9797.
There's still a lot of work to be done. And we will, every time they take the field, no matter the opponent, no matter the location, we're going to learn a lot more about this team. And we'll know certainly, we'll have a clearer definition of what this team is when we get to week 6 or 7, because we will have seen them against good teams, against bad teams. And are they going to do the same thing against Cleveland when they play? I don't know.
I mean, they could drop 50 on Cleveland.
They could, but Cleveland's strength is the defense. Mm-hmm. And if they do it against a defense like that, then maybe the offense is clicking. But they've got to be defensively, they've got to find a way to solve the equation of a mobile quarterback in a good offense.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I just know when the season started, we highlighted how difficult the schedule was. We knew they'd take some lumps. Everybody on the station thought they were going to come back down to earth from a win-loss standpoint. So if they lose a couple games early, but you still see that that team is in there, and Chicago showed you, hey, that team is still in there somewhere, that's the team you got to have humming at the end of the season. Let's get to the phones. Jeff in Detroit. Jeff, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning. Well, to go back to your question, hopefully this isn't a cop-out. I think the team that showed up against Green Bay is indicative of our defense, which needs to get much better. The team that showed up against the Bears is indicative of our offense. And when we go up against teams with elite quarterbacks, I think we're going to struggle, just like we did last year. So that's my biggest concern.
I think it's a fair read. I think their questions about getting to the quarterback are noted. They couldn't get to Jordan Love at all. Now Marcus Davenport is injured. Surprise there. And they're going to face better teams than the Bears, and you're going to need to get home. Offensively, I don't know what I was watching against Green Bay. That felt out of place. And then to see it kind of slide back in a week later, it's like, okay, they went back to the drawing board. They collected their thoughts. They played a cleaner game, and they played the type of game they played all of last year with Ben Johnson, and they did it without him. So I think the offense feels like the offense from the Bears game. To his point, the defense might be the defense from the Packers game. And can you win the division that way? Well, it's going to come down to Thanksgiving then, right?
Yes, it may just simply come down to Thanksgiving. But I also think in the second half, like, we saw the defense make some adjustments. Was it one touchdown in the second half for Green Bay? I mean, you are allowed to get better. You are allowed to make adjustments. And we know that there are some deficiencies that this defense has. If they can be a consistent team at stopping the run and then find a way, whether it's the Aaron Glenn, you know, method of blitzing 52% of the time or man coverage along with the blitz, like, you've got to do what you've got to do. That's why we brought up, if there's going to be a deficiency, we just floated out there Trey Hendrickson. Leave, and everybody got all over us about it.
Why would you bring this up? They're never going to do it. All right, guys, never mind. The team's fine.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get to Mark in Southfield. Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How's it going, guys?
What's up?
Hey, I think the team we've seen on Sunday is who they are. And I believe if that wasn't that team, they probably would have probably squoze and got that win. It probably would have been an ugly win versus a blowout. So I think they're right on track to where they need to be. Next week, I expect them not to get blown up but to compete, but I don't think they'll win. But yeah, that's just my thought, guys.
Yeah, look, I think the most likely scenario is they would split the next two, lose to the Ravens, beat the Browns. We'll have the inevitable. Well, they can only beat the bad teams. They can't beat the good teams. But they're figuring out a young offensive line on the fly. If they're 2-2, go into Cincinnati, win that game. You're 3-2, go into Kansas City, no Rashee Rice. Wait, that's an NBC Tirico game. Are we going to get the Astros again?
I don't know. We'll effort Mike that week, see if we can clarify that.
It'll be a good time. He's a riot. So if we can get him on, we can do that. But I think 3-3, 4-2, and yeah, they'd have a couple bad losses to Green Bay and Baltimore. They'd have things that clearly they need to get better at, but we kind of knew that going into this season.
Yeah, and I mean, the schedule is, it's not going to change in terms of the opponents that you're going to play, but as we've already seen, it will change due to injuries, whether they're in-house with the Lions or it's someone else. I had pegged Cincinnati as a win for the Lions. I think it looks even more now. That was quick.
I'm getting good.
Yeah. It seems even more likely now with the injury to Joe Burrow.
Yep. Couple texts. Week two is more the Lions to me. Week one was too sloppy. Missed assignments. Uncharacteristic. Something I don't believe is the standard for Dan and the crew. I don't expect it to be near perfect like Sunday, though. That's a dad in the drop-off line. Text says they're closer to the team that lost to Green Bay, but it's not a bad thing. Green Bay is the best in the league. Last week was a bad, bad, bad Bears team. I don't care what the Lions look like against the Bears. It's when they play the elite teams, Packers and Ravens. Those results are a better illustration of who this team is.
Mm-hmm. Where are the people that have to put the Bears in a Super Bowl? Remember there were a few of them in the preseason?
Yeah, the team that went worst to first?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they have gone bye-bye.
You don't blow out teams in the NFL unless you're a good team. Week one is the lie, signed Jake on the ticket text.
You know what, guys? I think this comes down to is how good is Green Bay? I think they've got a solid to good offense, okay? I think the defense, let's see after a few more weeks here when teams get some real tape on how they're playing. I mean, I'm not dismissing the chance that they could be the best defense in the league or a top five for sure, but I everybody's anointing them a little early.
It's 97-1.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.